This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Glow and Tell on ORFM, where women from around the world shine, speak and share
what beauty, power and presence mean in their culture, their way.
Hello, hello, gorgeous souls. You are listening to Glow and Tell, the podcast where highlighter means hustle, lip gloss meets life goals, and balance is always in verge. I'm your host, Humaira, here with you weekly dose of beauty, brains, and bold conversations. Now, today's guest. Oh, okay. Let me paint this picture for you. She is a powerhouse, lawyer, a mama to two absolute queens in the making and makeup industry who has mastered the perfect base and balance, and truly someone who embodies beauty in all the form. She's got Dunedin roots, Auckland vibes, and Beyonce energy. Please welcome to the mic the fabulous Shine.
Oh, thank you so much, Hum, for that introduction. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so I was thinking about the title of our show, and I was like, oh, what will be the title of the show which will just cover everything about Shan? And I came up with Beauty, Balance and Boss Energy.
Oh, hey, I won't complain about that. I love that title.
Yeah, so Shane, I'm so excited you are here. First of all, thank you so much. And I can't thank you enough that every single time whenever I ask you to come to the show, you are always there to help and support. And it's always so much fun to have you. And every single time you always impress me.
Oh, thank you. I always have a great time when I come. We just sit and chat.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're a lawyer, makeup artist, a mom, and you still glow like you just walked out of the spa. It's true. You you are always shining. If you remember, I used to call you Shine.
Yeah, you did. How fitting. Yeah.
So what's your serum?
Yeah, look, honestly, I'm such a true believer in if you look good, you feel good. And even when I'm completely sick, I still like to put on a good outfit, put a face on, do my hair. It makes me feel better even if I don't feel like it on the inside. You know, fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
I remember when I was pregnant with my second baby and I went to the hospital a number of times for an ongoing issue, and the doctors kept sending me away because they said, well, she seems fine. She looks fine. And my midwife had to call and say, look, she seems fine on the outside, but she is not fine.
Yeah.
You need to have a look at what's going on here. And I think I just try and bring that positive energy and, you know, regardless of how I might be feeling on the inside, because life carries on, doesn't it?
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because every time I see you, it's just like, you know, the beauty, the perfection. I always say, you know, the perfection is means to me, Shine.
You're too kind. Thank you.
Let's start right at the beginning. I know, but probably we have few more, our listeners who probably don't know about you much. But what inspired you to step into the world of beauty and makeup, especially while already having such a full-on legal career?
There was a very specific turning point for me. I've always, right from a young age, right from when I was, as far as I can remember, like 14 onwards, I've always been interested in makeup and glam and the creative side that comes with fashion and styling. Pursuing my legal career made that take a back seat, and just trying to have that creative expression in my personal life. In 2019, when we were trying to get pregnant with my first baby, we were having a bit of trouble, and I made the decision to leave private practice. And there was just, it was a moment for me to sit back and reconsider what are some things that I've always wanted to do. And in fact, it was my husband, Michael, that suggested taking a step back and thinking about what you've always wanted to do. He said, you've always loved doing makeup. Is that something that might be a good time to pursue now, you know, while you're taking a step back? And that's when I launched my makeup artist business.
That is so cool. That is so cool. So do you remember the exact moment you thought, you know what, I'm going to launch a makeup business? That was, you know, that time when, you know, Michael said to you, was that exactly that?
I do remember the exact time, and it wasn't quite then. That was what got the cogs turning. That was what made me start looking at what the qualifications were. There's obviously no formal qualifications to be a makeup artist, but I'm all about learning and making sure that I've got everything I need in order to be able to achieve the goals that I want, which in this case was starting the business. So I did three pro makeup courses, one of which was in Auckland. It was an intensive workshop that I was doing. And my mentor there said to me, if you're going to do it, just do it.
Yeah.
And I went back to my sister's house in Auckland that night and I did it. I launched it on Instagram. I had it all ready to go, but I had said to my mentor, no, I'm not going to do it right now. Let me get some more practice under my belt. And she said, no, you're there. You need to just, if you're going to do it, do it. And I did. And it honestly hit the ground running, because we live in this beautiful city, Dunedin, where everybody talks and a lot of us all know each other. And immediately it started with people I knew wanting to get their makeup done to then telling other people. And it really just, took off on its own right from the start.
It's just like no, now or never kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
And
you're
absolutely right.
And I think it's too easy to be hesitant. I think it's stereotypical of women to be hesitant to think about all the things that are holding them back rather than the things that are propelling them forward. So I really appreciated that advice, and certainly think that's something to bear in mind if you're ever thinking of doing something hard. Just do it.
Do it. So what was harder? Because, you know, you are a lawyer. So was it your first legal exam or your first bridal glam? Just be honest.
Yeah, they're both so different. But I guess there's a bit, there's passion behind both both aspects, but not so much the exam aspect. An external exam where you are, a lot of things are memory based. There is a bit of stress and a bit of pressure there. I have to be honest and say the law exam, but there are obvious challenges in a bridal glam. You are responsible for a person's most important day, potentially of their life. And so that's make or break as well. But I certainly, in terms of stress levels, would find the legal exam harder.
Exactly. But I totally agree with you. It is lots of stress when you are doing something for somebody's big day. Like people come to me for lashes and stuff. And when they tell me that they it's their wedding the next week or the next day, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to do any job which will just remind them, you know, the bad experience or anything. So yes, there is stress.
That's
a lot
exactly
of stress.
Right. Never try anything new in the days leading up to your wedding.
Exactly. So how did people react when they learned you were both lawyer and a makeup artist? Were they there any raised eyebrows, or did people totally get it?
I don't think there really were raised eyebrows. I think in New Zealand, different people put different priorities on different aspects of life. And I know that you know from my upbringing and culture, and I think yours is the same, the thing that's prioritised is tertiary education, a bachelor's degree, and, you know, being that lawyer or that doctor. And so that's high priority, and that's something that I guess as a result of my upbringing, you know, I find impressive in other people, but not everybody feels that way. And so I think different industries, people are impressed by different things, so not necessarily the combination of the two. But I also think it was relatively clear throughout my legal career, through my fashion sense, that it was something that I might naturally fall into, you know, something more creative with makeup or with hair or with fashion, you know?
Yeah, I totally get it when you said that, you know, I probably know the cultural background and all that. Even last time when we met and we were talking about, you know, the parents are pushing to be doctor or a lawyer or something. Yeah, I feel like I am at that place where your parents were at that time. that you were studying.
Yeah.
Because I am that parent now who is just pushing our children to, you know, just go into that. And no, nothing creative. No, you don't need to show me or tell me what did you do in the game. I want to know how many credits have you done and all that.
Yeah.
I totally get it. It's just the cultural thing, isn't it?
It's deeply instilled through generations. But me having grown up in New Zealand versus my parents, I'm Fiji Indian, so my parents grew up in Fiji. And so I think me having grown up in New Zealand for most of my life, well, everything bar, 18 months, meant that I have the ability to adapt to different values. Yeah. And so with my daughters, I certainly feel a more balanced approach. I think there's a bit more focus on passion and happiness, but a balance, because those values are still relatively deeply instilled, it's certainly tempered a bit through the generation.
But I love that you learned into both your analytical and creative sides. It's such a powerful example, especially for women who feel boxed into just one role. So it's something different, actually two very different sides. It's amazing what you are doing. So now we have to peek inside the beauty bag and take us inside the vault. So what's your morning skin routine? Give us a real tea. No gatekeeping.
The real truth, you know.
Yeah.
I think, look, I'll start with everyone's skin is different. And I've learned a lot about skin over the last 2 years when I first started seeing my skin therapist. And so before, I think I had a real focus on makeup without as much thought put into the canvas that the makeup goes onto. And obviously becoming a makeup artist changed that view. And also working with my skin therapist has really changed that view, where you really need to take care of the inside in order for the outside to glow, and the makeup's only as good as the skin that it goes onto. And so it's really thinking about that skincare routine. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be complicated. For me, my skin therapist worked with me on my oily skin. I have massively oily skin. I'm prone to breakouts. Great for anti-aging, but not great for breakouts and shininess. And we worked together to get rid of that T-zone and really dry it out and try and tighten the skin as I'm getting closer to 40,
Oh, my God. Tell me about it.
And my skin therapist, she just was very honest about what I needed. Didn't make it overcomplicated. She's Gemma from Skin Health Studio. Absolutely phenomenal. And she's just, it's been a game changer for my skin. I don't do any other cosmetic procedures anymore. I don't have any other treatments other than I just have my at-home treatment from Gemma, which is all through D&K.
Let's give a shout out to Gemma.
We know she's amazing. Gemma from Skin Health Studio.
So it's Gemma from Skin Health Studio who is Shane's
skin therapist. And so she does my monthly treatments, and she's given me my at-home skincare, which is a relatively simple skincare routine, which is actually the question you asked, isn't it? So I best go back to that. So I use an osmosis cleanser, which is great for oily skin. And then there's a few different products I use. So for nighttime, I've got an anti-wrinkle under the eye, which is Dermavigils. I've got Melanotech drops, which are to even out pigmentation, especially with the darker skin. I've got pore reduction drops, which are great for over the nose and that T-zone. And then lastly, a beautiful Revitazin cream, which is the vitamin A and retinol to really soak into the skin overnight. And you just wake up feeling refreshed and looking super glowy.
That is so good. That is really good routine and not so complicated.
It's really not. Revitazin is magic, absolute magic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, some of the skin routines you see, especially nowadays, online, and man, they put the mask on and they, like, what are they doing with
there's
them?
A lot. I mean, people don't have much time. I started with three products and then I slowly just added in more, and I just stopped at a point where I felt it was too high admin for me.
Cool. So makeup wise, what is your daily go-to look when you are doing like school drop-offs and legal meetings all in one breath?
It's what I've got on now. It's just my weekday go-to. I over the last year or so, I've really rated Arlif products. Arlif is a New Zealand brand, and they're really focused on natural, sustainable makeup that is also skincare. And the reason I've been able to move away from a really high coverage MAC type foundation, which worked really well for me at one time, is because of my skin. I don't need as high coverage. So I use an Arlif concealer foundation and I just put the primer on top and I do a bit of contour and lip balm and good to go. And because you do such an amazing job with my brows and lashes, I don't need to do anything with those.
I'm just able to enhance them tiny bit. They are already on fleek naturally. So yeah, thank you so much for giving me the credit. I would love to take it, but I must say that
it's all
naturally.
Yours. No, it's all yours.
Thank you for that. So you just mentioned about Arlif, but do you have any other signature product or makeup step that's just so you?
I think it goes back to the base, and yeah. So it's all primer. Primer for the face, primer for under the eyes, primer for the lips. You need, it smooths everything out before you put the foundation on or put your first makeup product on. Primer for every area. Even on your eyelids, there's different primer for different areas of the face. So your eyelid primer before your eyeshadow. So get all your primers, yeah.
Really?
Eyelids, under eye, lip, and face. That's the four.
Well, you learn something new every day. I didn't know that there is like different primers. Well, I thought it's only one primer. You just put it
different
on
types of skin around the face. I think you could consolidate two of those with the eyes, but if you can, really, to keep it separate, just really produces a great base.
Good. Any beauty products you have bought because of the hype and then gone, never again?
Oh, yeah, plenty. Yeah, plenty. There's this one that I can remember that was a dewy look blush, a dewy look shimmer blush.
Oh, okay.
And I still have it. It's like this berry color in a tube and you pop it on your face and on the cheekbones and it gives you like this wet look.
Yeah.
But I'd put it on and it would just look like my makeup was not finished, like it still needed something on top. And so wet look, not for me. Wet blush, not for me.
Yeah. So, yeah. Sometimes it happens, you know, there is a big hype going about something and you get into that hype and then it's nowhere. Like after a few days, you can't even find it.
Oh, yeah.
It was something that big and where is that?
It's fleeting. Yeah.
So, how do you tailor makeup for different faces and features? So is it like, as you said, primer, base, or is it the same? Or
there's actually a real science to it because it really comes down to first face shape and face structure will dictate the contour and where the contour and concealer and the foundation goes. And then it will also be based on skin type and personal preference in terms of someone who does a full face of makeup during the week will have a more intense glam for a night out if they're coming to see you versus someone that wears no makeup during the week that has a more natural glam. Glam means something different to everybody and you have to take the time to find out what that means for that person and what their usual makeup routine is, what their usual skincare routine is, and also do an assessment yourself as a professional of where the contour areas are and where the areas are you want to brighten and where the areas are that you want to darken or contour to produce a nice face shape.
Yeah.
So it actually, there is quite a bit of an assessment that goes into it. And to do all of that within an allotted hour, it's a lot. It can often be a lot. Yeah.
I love it. As you said, that there is lots of assessment behind it and actually a science behind it because you are going to tailor some, you know, features and you are going to enhance it. So definitely it takes lots of, you know, you know, the analytic skills and all those
and often
things.
The person will know their face much better than you do, having potentially meeting them for the first time, anything other than a wedding, meeting them for the first time on the day. So they know usually where they do concealer and they know where they might normally do highlighter or, you know, those sorts of things. And so you're coming in blind, but having to do that assessment all on the spot. There's a lot more that goes into the makeup artistry than just the 1 hour that you spend with them.
Exactly. And I have seen some of your work on your Instagram and it's just just, it's amazing.
Oh, thank beautiful. You, hum.
Every face looks masterpiece. So going back to the question where I said that, you know, you bought a product and at a hype and then it was juicy blush, you said, or something like that?
It was a wet,
So you said you still have it.
I do still have it. Yeah, it's sitting in my makeup kit. I need to get rid of it.
Yeah. So do you usually keep the bad decision?
I do. I clear out from time to time. It's definitely not part of my current kit, that's for sure. Yeah.
It's just sitting in makeup
in the drawer. Yeah. That was more for personal use. I love bold looks. I love anything out there. I love trying new things. 90% of the people that come to see me like a natural glam or like a nudie blush. And so that is often what we do, and that's okay because that's what they want. But for me, I love a lot of things that are out there. I like trying new techniques. So that really was for personal use. That was not intended for wider use than that.
Exactly. So what do you wish more people understood about makeup artistry beyond the glam?
Yeah, I think I touched on it before, and it really is the amount of thought and assessment that needs to go into putting a look together, but also that we can't make you look like the photo on the internet.
Yeah, for sure.
Almost all of them are photoshopped or airbrushed, whether it looks like it or not. And even with that aside, we can't change someone's skin routine that they've been doing for the past year in one makeup look.
Yeah.
Like I said, it goes back to the canvas. And I actually joked to Gemma about how I wish I could send my clients to her for treatment first and then come to see me and then we'd produce an amazing look together.
Yes, because I think you love the beautiful canvas.
I do.
Your masterpiece. So, as I know, you have two beautiful daughters, so Charlotte and
Florence. Yes.
So have they started dipping into your products yet?
Oh, my gosh. So not into my products, not because they're not interested. They just know that it's not allowed. But they definitely have their own makeup products, kid makeup that they get into and they like to put on before they go to daycare, and they like to use what I'm using when they see me putting it on, so they might get a little bit, but definitely interested. They pull my high heels out, they put them on, they always ask if they can have a little bit of the makeup that I'm putting on. They did their face this morning, they put like a bit of powder on their cheekbones. The placement was actually pretty good.
Awesome. So any lip gloss disaster yet?
I found hot pink lipstick smushed into the makeup table.
I remember many, many years ago when we were living in Saudi Arabia, there was a new shop and it was hype again. I went to buy some lipsticks from there, the beautiful lipsticks I bought. I loved the color, brought them home, left them on my table, went to the kitchen, came back, and my little one was writing ABC with them.
Oh my gosh, no.
On the wall. And my God, that just broke my heart.
That's so sad.
So I still remember those lipsticks, but I didn't pick up the courage to go back and buy again. I was like, okay.
That
was their fate. I think daughters usually follow moms, and I have seen some photos of Florence and Charlotte. They are definitely
going to be. It's inevitable.
They are going to be glam girls. So you're a general counsel by day, makeup magician by event night, and a mom all the time. There's lots of hats, and somehow none of them are slipping. I'm amazed. Was there a moment where you thought, okay, I need to define balance on my terms and, you know, just focus on this?
Yeah, I think that was in 2019 when I left full-time private practice and I did launch my makeup artist business. That was my opportunity to think about balance. We were just about to have our first kid, and that was when it was, you know, a talk with my husband, Michael, about where my work sits, where his work sits, what that looks like, what kind of parents we want to be. And I think we found a really good balance in terms of me doing what I want to and pursuing my legal career whilst also being a good mum. or trying to.
No, definitely you are a good mom. Did you integrate all parts of yourself? What's the strategy?
Sorry, what's the question?
Yeah, so what's your strategy to, you know, having all the, because you still, you are doing the...
Oh, balancing the different aspects. Oh, there is none. It's just getting through. Some days, some weeks, it really is just one foot in front of the other. You know, a few weeks ago, I was sick for 2 weeks and, you know, nothing really stops. And sometimes it really is just one foot in front of the other.
And how has motherhood changed your views on beauty? And like ambition, or even how you show up each day? Has there been any changes?
Incredible changes. Yeah. Thinking about who I want to be for my daughters, the role model that I want to be, whilst also taking into account my own preferences and what I want for myself as well. And so I try to balance that. I have makeup free days where I like them to see that I don't always need makeup. Sometimes I like a glam look, and I think that's okay for them to see that as well. And everything's not about the way that they perceive me, but I do consider that in my preferences. And so thinking about lip filler or Botox, you know, these are things that I have gotten in the past, and yeah, they might have been good at that time, but I've just made a personal choice that I don't want my kids to see me changing my face shape and showing them that I'm not satisfied with my natural face, so I'm going to change that. But I guess you could make the same argument for putting makeup on in the morning or changing my hair blonde. Yeah. You know, could be showing them that I'm not appreciating my natural beauty. But there's a balance. And so you decide where you want to give and where you want to take. And we talk about that. We talk openly about how everybody's different, and that's what makes everyone special.
Yeah, yeah. So now coming to you, because I know you're Florence and Charlotte, have they got blonde hair or have they got black hair from mum?
It's dark hair. They've both got dark hair.
Dark hair, yeah.
I think both of them, it looks black, but in certain lights it's actually a very dark brown.
Yeah, because their skin is quite light.
Their skin is quite fair, especially Florence. She's quite fair. Yeah.
She
takes after her dad.
She got it from Michael. So, which is beautiful, you know, especially I always see the mixed race children are the most beautiful children. So what lessons do you hope your daughters learn from watching you juggle so much and still prioritizing yourself in the mix?
I think it's just their normal, just like it is for everybody. So I don't think they see it as, you know, me doing a lot or Michael doing a lot, or I think any mum would say the same. You could be doing a lot and your daughter wouldn't know it. As you know, I modelled for ID Fashion Week earlier this year, and I was explaining to Charlotte what I was doing because she asked where I had been, and I showed her the video and I showed her, you know, what I'd been doing. But I don't think it really registered. I think as a kid, what you grow up around is your normal. That's just normal to them to see that. But I think what you referenced, prioritizing yourself, I think daughters need to see their mums prioritizing themselves. And I will always tell my children where I'm going, or if Michael and I are going out, then we always tell them we're going to dinner with friends, or I'm going to Pilates, or I'm going to hip hop dance. I want her to know the things that I'm going out to do so that she can then take care of herself in the way that she sees fit. And, you know, they'll do what they see. They'll do what they grow up with.
Yeah. You just mentioned about the Fashion ID Week, which I was going to go to that topic. How did that happen?
Oh my gosh.
Was that not enough? We have Pilates, we have hip hop dancing, we have makeup, we have legal side of, and then we have full glam shant. So.
That was so serendipitous. At the end of last year, there was a charity fashion show run by a beautiful friend of mine, and she asked if I would model in the charity show. And so, of course, I agreed. She has amazing designs, and I was more than happy to do that for her. And within that show, part of the board of ID was at that show, and they approached me afterwards and said, would you like to model for ID? And I was absolutely thrilled. It was incredibly unexpected and just the most the most incredible experience for me as well, having done that. Never thought that that's something that I would do.
Yeah, but you have been part of ID for quite a long time, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yes, I have. Yeah, as a makeup artist usually. Yeah. And this year, I really wanted to be part of the makeup team and also modelling on the runway, but it wasn't to be. You can't do both.
Typical so. You want to do
quite
a few things at a time, isn't it? Yes, that was amazing when I saw your videos and all that.
Thank you.
Definitely, again, the perfectionist. You just delivered it perfectly.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I had a great time.
Yeah. And Pilates and hip-hop dancing still going?
Still going, yep. Yeah. I'm doing my hip-hop twice a week, which I absolutely love. It's potentially the highlight of my week, just getting out there dancing at the classes twice a week. And then, I do my Pilates once or twice a week as well.
That is honestly amazing that you can fit all that. Is your just a side question, is your day 36 hours?
I wish. Everything is very finely balanced, as any parent or anyone will really tell you. One thing goes wrong, you might get sick and suddenly it all falls apart, you know.
Yeah, because the amount of things you just cover in one day, I can't imagine. On a usual routine, I think I'm very busy and I'm doing a lot. But whenever I meet you, I'm like, okay.
You are very busy. I see you when I come to my appointments. You are incredibly busy. You're juggling a lot yourself.
Yeah. But my God, you have so much in your plate. You have worked in high pressure roles and high stakes beauty scenarios, weddings, big events, all that. Any surprising similarities between the two?
Legal and makeup. I think keeping the client happy. That's across the board. If you can keep your clients happy, whether it's makeup, whether it's legal, you're going to do a good job, you know?
So true. If the client is happy with the outcome.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that really is. Client satisfaction is number one.
Exactly. And client is always right. It's amazing how different worlds, law and beauty, both require confidence, precision, and presence. You have merged them so seamlessly. Okay. Although throughout, it's been so much fun, and it's been, I'm just enjoying every single moment of our chat. I love to do this rapid fire round.
Oh, yes,
shall
of
we
course.
Do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Red lip or nude gloss?
Red lip.
Ah, I knew it. Beauty blender or brush?
Oh, brush, for sure.
Early bird or night owl?
Oh, night owl. Easy, night owl.
Go to coffee order?
Oh, almond cappuccino.
Okay. Song that gets you in a glam mood?
Oh, Spaghetti by Beyonce.
Ah, bold eyes or bold lips?
Ooh, bold lips, I think.
Mm-hmm. Favorite part of your face to do makeup on?
Oh, my contour, cheek contour. Yeah.
Foundation, buildable or full beat from the get-go?
Used to be full beat, now buildable.
Yeah. One product you can't live without?
Oh, primer.
And the last one, if your life had a theme song, what would it be?
Oh, I think Big Energy by Latto.
Yeah. Okay, I see you with the good answers. I am officially rethinking why the whole morning routine. Last time when I had you and we talked about a superpower, which you mentioned, that was so good. And that became part of my each and every podcast. I just added it. I asked lots and lots of people and nobody has come up with that superpower.
Oh, the same answer.
Is it still the same or has it changed?
Of course it's still the same. Time travel. Being able to rewind time or stop time, get more hours out of the day. I would love that. That's an incredible superpower.
Yeah. Like with the time travel, if you get a chance to go somewhere, where will that be? Like in your past, in your future, or maybe in history, or where will that be?
Yeah, I think I'd love to go back to the day of my Indian wedding and relive that. Way too quick. My cheeks were sore from smiling all day and all night, and it was just the most incredible cultural experience, you know.
I would like to share with my listeners that Shane kindly has helped me putting up a show about Pakistani wedding, and she played a part of Pakistani bride. You just killed it. It was so beautiful.
It was incredibly fun to get dressed up in my Indian kagra again and do that. Feel like a bride again.
And Michael did.
He loved putting his outfit back on again as well.
It was so nice. And of course, Pakistani weddings are mostly the Muslim weddings. So that was like having the Muslim nikah. So now we can say that you are husband and wife in Islam. It was beautiful. And you both looked stunning. I can totally understand why you want to go back to that day. Because probably you looked even more beautiful because that was the real one.
Thank you.
So now let's get little deeper. We love the glam, but we also love the growth. As a general counsel, you are in a leadership role now. So how has it changed how you view your own voice and presence as a woman in a corporate space?
So I'm general counsel for a company called Agreeable. It's an Auckland-based company that provides legal services. We essentially digitize legal services. And my leadership style has certainly changed over the years. And the turning point was having children, the most humbling experience of my life. And it really developed an empathetic nature about me that I don't think I had previously, a lot more understanding about different things that people might have going on and people's priorities and things that can affect competency and performance. And just a general understanding, putting yourself in somebody else's shoes, can never hurt, especially in a work environment where everyone's just mucking and trying to get things done. And everyone's got different levels of enthusiasm for different roles, different motivations and priorities. And so really it's about, I've learned to try and value what each person brings to the table, because everyone brings something and it may not be what you bring. And thankfully it's not, because if we all were the same, then we wouldn't grow, would we?
As we say that you learn something new every day.
Exactly. So. Yeah. A growth mindset is so incredibly important. And if you're always willing to learn, that's what I look for in people that I work with. I want people that have a growth mindset. I don't mind if you're not good from day one or not competent from day one, as long as you're always improving and have a growth mindset so that you want to improve and you're willing to learn. That's what's going to take you really far.
Because attitude to learn is everything.
Yeah, even with 15 years as a lawyer, you still, if you're not open to learning and think that you know everything after a certain level of experience, then you're not really going to be the best that you can be.
Because once you have that attitude that I know everything, that stops. Then there is nothing. Again, you can learn more from that point onwards. You are just stuck there. This is amazing, with that thought that everybody brings different thoughts, different ideas, different way of doing things on the table. And the best is to find out which one works the best, not only for you, but for the team. I can see you are a very good team player too. this is amazing. What's the best career advice you have ever received, from your childhood until now, other than your father telling you to be a doctor?
I think it's at least nobody died.
Do you think we could get there?
Because is. In legal practice, there are a lot of things that can seem like the be-all and end-all in the moment, especially in the first 5 years of practice. And humans make mistakes. Mistakes are inevitable as long as you learn from them. Like I always say, it's okay. But sometimes they do have like quite serious consequences, in particular monetary consequences.
Yeah.
And so I think I always remember that.
That is so. Before I go to my next question, now, you know, because you started as a medical student, didn't you?
I wouldn't go that far. I did health science in my first year.
Yeah, and then and you have a twin sister?
Oh, yes, I do, yeah.
What's her name?
Sharon.
So Sharon was the one who started Law First?
Yes, she was,
So you just joined her?
Yes, I did. I did start uni planning on becoming a doctor. I did all the science papers in high school, did my first year of health science and just thought, ick, this is not for me. I do not want to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. And yet my sister always knew that she wanted to be a lawyer. And so I guess in a way I followed in her footsteps. She'll love me saying that.
Yeah. So it's I think it's just the twin thing.
Well, it's interesting because amongst my cousins on my mother's side, there are more cousins, but six of us. There's my sister and I, and then two others, a boy, two boys and a boy and a girl. And all the siblings all ended up doing the same job. So my sister and I are both lawyers. Two of them are both physios, and two of them both were in the Air Force. And it's just this funny dynamic on my mum's side where we all, these siblings, you know, and my cousins, we all ended up just doing the same jobs as our siblings.
Yeah, it just reminded me, you know, when you said that at least nobody died, and I was like, maybe if we continued with that.
Yeah.
So have you ever hit burnout, and if so, how did you recover or reset?
Yeah, I think for A-type personalities like myself, it is a difficult thing to identify when you're in it. I, with the benefit of hindsight, I could see those periods of time. Yeah, I do think it's hard to identify, but I think the legal profession has increasingly gotten better, especially since COVID, with supporting, you know, lawyers through difficult mental health periods and identifying burnout and focusing on wellness and well-being and balance and that sort of thing. I think before I had my kids, I didn't think of much else other than my work. And now it's really nice to be much more well-rounded.
Yeah. So before kids were born, of course, you were so much focused on your work, and now you have kids, but you still got the work. So do you ever feel that mom guilt creep in? And if so, how do you manage it when it does?
That's an interesting question, because this term mom guilt is not something that I ever personally experienced. Mm. And so right from when I had my babies, my husband and I would work together with balancing out what both of our needs were, but what my needs were. And I remember early on after my first daughter was born, she might have been 4 or 5 months, and I went away to Auckland for a weekend to see my sister just to take a break and without Charlotte. And I got that question quite a bit. And a lot of people would say they've never left their baby for the night. You know, it's not really something that they've done. Are you okay? You know, how are you feeling? And it wasn't something that I ever turned my mind to. All I thought was, this is what I need right now. Yeah. My husband is more than capable of looking after our baby.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do that. And it wasn't until I was being asked that I actually even started to think about it, because I certainly didn't feel guilty.
Yeah.
I thought, this is just what is needed at this time, and this is what I'm going to do, and that's what Charlotte and Michael are going to do.
Yeah.
And it did make me second guess, but I don't think to a point where I actually felt it, because I know a lot of things, especially when it comes to kids, have emotion involved, but it just was a very logical decision to me.
Yeah. I think you, as we discussed earlier, and as I know that you have very balanced kind of life, you know, you put the things on the right place, and, you know, you go day by day with your, you know, routine. It's perfect timing routine and all that. probably that's another reason that you don't get that mom guilt, because you know you are providing what is needed and where it is needed. So definitely it needs a balanced life. And I can see you have got that.
Balance is the key word, I think. And another thing that I realized early on with motherhood is quality over quantity. I'm no good to my girls if I'm spending so much time with them that it's not enjoyable for them and not enjoyable for me. So thinking about daycare arrangements, thinking about the nanny, thinking about what hours and what days that looks like while balancing it with what I want to do, like my work.
Yeah. I see you as a confident woman who knows her worth. What do you want your daughters to understand most about confidence, success, and self-worth?
Yeah, there's a really key cornerstone that I really hope we can instill in them growing up, and that's hard work. It's very difficult. I think most parents would say it's difficult not to spoil your children.
Yeah.
You know, you want to give them everything. You want them to have a life that you might not have had. You know, you want to take the trips and you want to give them all the things that you think that they deserve. But I think that does come at a cost. It comes at a cost of complacency and ungratefulness. And so I think that's going to be a tough one. But I want them to know that hard work pays off and that that's what they need to do if they want to be successful.
Yeah. Mm. And I think as parents, it's our responsibility to let our children know about their worth and, you know, build their confidence. As a mother, I know my younger one, she lacks confidence here and there. But every single time I just tell her that you are the best.
Yeah, that's so nice. They need to hear it.
Yeah, because there is no other person on the face of earth as you. It's only you.
Yeah, that's going to advocate for them. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, I can definitely see that your daughters are going to be like mom, like daughters. Yeah.
Well, my oldest, who's just about to turn 5, is currently saying that she wants to do what Mama and Mulsey do. Mulsey is my sister, and we're both lawyers. And we're like, yeah, she wants to be a lawyer. I know. Take that with a grain of salt. But that's what she's currently saying.
And what does Michael say about her career as a lawyer? Is he happy about it?
He says, no, honey, stockbroker. Because that's what he does.
I think Michael got a little bit from his Fijian in-laws that, okay, I can say about her career. Now, your mom and dad, do they also, you know, just not as probably strongly to your children as they did to you? Oh, you want to be doctor, you want to be... Do they often mention to Charlotte or Florence that, do you want to be this or what do you want to be?
I haven't heard them have that conversation as yet, and may still be coming because my daughters are only 3 and 4, about to turn 5. I can definitely see it coming from my dad. But hey, I'm not unhappy with the way that my parents pushed that and prioritized that. I just think it can be tempered a bit and balanced with other things.
I actually feel that it's great that, you know, because what we think we are talking about on the basis of our experiences, I totally agree that they should be given a choice, but we can just tell them.
These are the options.
Well, Chen, I can't thank you enough. And always, whenever I have you, the time just goes super fast. And I love when, a woman like you redefines success beyond just titles. It's about, you know, alignment, peace, and showing up as your full self, right? always I feel like whenever I have you, I don't have to look on the time but how much time is left. It's just amazing to have you. You are such rich, beautiful, full of laughter, learning, and a few too many. I can't even find out more adjectives about you. and before I come to closure, I would like to know about your future plans. So what's happening in future? Something more exciting?
Oh, see, that's a tough one because I feel like, you know, we've talked a lot about balance and I feel like I've really achieved a really great balance for me right now. Mm-hmm. And so for now, I'm happy with things remaining the same. In a year from now, it may not be the same. I definitely envisage shifts in my legal career to, you know, focusing more on that and less on other things. But for right now, I feel like everything's balanced beautifully and I'll just enjoy that ride.
And are we seeing you again in ID Fashion or something similar?
Oh, I hope so. But actually, funny you should ask. The charity show that I originally modeled for at the end of last year is now an annual thing. It's called More Than Just a Fashion Show. Yeah. And it's put on by Bespoke by Tegan, Tegan Vickery, who's a designer. And she's putting that on at the end of this year. And she has kindly asked me to model again.
Awesome.
So in a sense, I am officially a model.
Oh, among so many titles and other titles. And other beautiful stone to your crown.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
I can see you're master of everything. So my last question, I don't want to finish this show. What does glow up mean to you and how do you think you are glowed up in the last 5 years?
Oh, yeah. I think glow up, I can encompass that in one word, and that's kindness. Mm-hmm. I think kindness is beautiful, and you can exude beauty through kindness. And that's definitely something that I've learned. That's a huge cornerstone of our household and something I really try to instill in my girls. Kindness and empathy.
Cool. Kindness and empathy definitely are the keys for a beautiful life. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Hum.
For sharing your story and for showing us that you don't have to choose between being a boss and being a bold with a brush. You can truly do it all.
Oh, I appreciate that, Hum. Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to Glow and Tell with me, Humaira, and the stunning Shine. Don't forget to follow, share, and tag us with your favorite takeaways. Until next time, stay glowing, stay grounded, and never skip your SPF. Bye.
Thanks for glowing with us on this episode of Glow and Tell on OAR FM, where every story radiates with culture, confidence, and care.
Catch more powerful conversations on oar.org.nz, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your glow.
From all of us, Humaira, Haneen, and Marwa, stay bold, stay brilliant, and we will see you next time.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.